You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think your happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland again this week with me, your Spider Pan Jeremy, head Lost Boy around here. And with us this week is not Lost Boy Eric, but we're bringing a pixie along with us. Hello, we're bringing Christy Sproul with us.
Hey, everybody.
We haven't given you a pixie name yet, have we?
No, you haven't.
We'll have to work on that one. I don't know what we would call you. You'll have to come up with something, and we'll add you to the list of Neverlanders, because you've been on the show actually before, because I already had you listed in Skype. So you've been on before, probably talking about some cartoons.
Most likely, yeah.
Because you started Voice Chasers, right?
I did, about 22, 23 years ago when I was still in high school. It was a big hobby for me. It turned into this big thing I wasn't expecting. So,
who knew this would be your claim to fame?
Right?
How did it get started then?
Oh, gosh. I like to say it's Rob Paulson's fault, but I was a big Ninja Turtle fan back then. And then Animaniacs came out in about 93 or so. And started watching Animaniacs with my friend. And she said, hey, Yakko sounds like Raphael. I said, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. And we had this big argument. And back then, the internet was very young. There wasn't much resource. And so we started doing some sleuthing, going to the library and just listening to stuff and forming this little group of us on Prodigy. I don't know if you remember Prodigy, but it's kind of like CompuServe back then, or AOL. And so there was a little group of us that would tape shows on at the time. We would kind of have Animaniacs was our key, because Animaniacs is one of the few shows that showed you who did what in the episode. So that became kind of our keystone. And then we would watch other shows on at the time, fast forward to the credits, write all the names down in the credits, rewind, and then we would listen for the voices that we recognized in that show. And it was a big game of, you know, who did what, just by listening. And it just became this big thing. We just compile all this data. And I started to put it up online. And actors started finding themselves and writing into me, and they'd give me, you know, their full resume and their headshot and their demo. And it just became this thing, free promotion for the actor and getting the names out of there. These people are just the most talented people that nobody knows. So,
yeah. And I need to have more of them on the show. So,
yeah, they're all good people. Everybody's just the best, most talented people and the most genuine and egoless people, for sure.
Yeah. Anytime I've gotten to talk, I've talked to a few at conventions. I don't always get to record at a convention anymore, because I have got to talk with Rob Paulson. I kind of asked him about the new Ninja Turtles show, since he's the voice directing, which
he
I thought
is.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah, moving on up.
I won't comment on that. The show, I'm not a fan of the new show, but I'm proud of him. He's doing a good job with voice directing.
He is.
And I even said, you know what? You learned from the best, though. You know, with all the years he spent working with Andrea Beaumont. I mean, come on. Or not Andrea, Andrea Beaumont. Wow.
Andrea Romano. Yeah.
My brain went Mask of the Phantasm, you know?
It was like a Catherine Beaumont, Andrea.
Well, no, because Andrea Beaumont was the love interest in Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
I see. Okay.
So I was in the cartoon, and that's where I first heard of Andrea Romano, because there was a making of Batman Mask of the Phantasm I saw on HBO. And, Andrea Romano was talking about the casting of the different characters. And that's where I first learned that Mark Hamill was the Joker, because they had footage of him doing the voice.
Yeah.
And he's talking about when he was thinking of the voice, he just realized he had so many teeth. And so you can see Mark Hamill performing it. He was sticking his teeth kind of out, and his teeth was all in this big wide grin. And yeah. It was amazing.
It's cool.
So to see his performance, I mean, he had to stand up for that because it was so big and energetic. And then they had footage of Kevin Conroy doing his performance, and he's keeping everything down. And he talks about the difference between his Bruce Wayne up here, and then you go to the darker corners of a man, and Batman was way down here. And it was fascinating watching them perform the voices, then talking about how they developed the voices and what helped inspire the voice that they use. And oh,
sure, it's fascinating.
It's great. So. See how I tied that back into where it makes sense? I mean, it's amazing what these actors can do and the performance they actually give that you don't see because you have to just listen to the performance.
Yep. It's amazing.
It's fantastic. And there was a website somebody gave me that I'm supposed to contact some of the agents for some other voice actors. So I'll try to have them on the show, and I've been planning on doing it. I just haven't gotten around to it. But anybody I can't find, I'm going to start checking voice changers and see if you know how to get a hold of some people, because I want to talk to these people, because these people I grew up listening to and I still listen to stuff. And
yep. They've all got great stories, too. I don't know if you saw it, but Butch Hartman just put up a video from 1996 in Cartoon Network when they were recording Johnny Bravo. So all this. Oh, it's great. Go check it out if you we have it. I just put it on Twitter. But he's walking around the Cartoon Network studios, but a lot of it is in the recording room with all the actors. So Jeff Bennett's in there and Mae Whitman, who's like 6'7", maybe in there. Mark Hamill is in there.
Oh, wow.
Maurice LaMarche is in there. Dee Baker's in there. Just really good stuff. Yeah. Go check that out.
Oh, and if hearing these names doesn't make people go like, oh, them, then okay, yep. Do some research, because you'd be surprised how many great characters these people have done.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't know the name, you know their voice.
Oh, totally. Yep.
Oh, so that's, I love talking to voice actors too. So I need to get more of them on.
Yep.
My first guest was actually Katie Lee, and that was so
Katie
was so sweet, because the first recording, I had technical problems. Imagine that. And so the entire recording didn't go. And so I had to get a completely different program to record the conversation. And I was able to call her back late Saturday night after she was at a hockey game.
Yeah.
But it was like late Saturday night, and we acted like we hadn't already went over the whole conversation before.
Yeah.
So I was so appreciative that she came back.
She's great. She actually just co-hosted. We covered the Annie Awards a week ago.
Yeah.
A week ago yesterday, we covered the Annie Awards on the red carpet, and she was our co-host on the red carpet. So she was doing interviews with my friend Brock Powell, who's also a big up and coming name in the VO business. So there's a lot of fun.
I remember seeing some pictures you were sharing of that. I'm like, look, Katie's doing the hosting.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, and they did a special honors for somebody. Now I can't think of, did they do
Andrea, an honor? Andrea Romano.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was about to ask. I was like, was that Andrea Romano? It's because she was awesome. And she's just finally retired after she's got enough Annie's up on her shelf, I think now. So
yeah, she has, I think the story is she has Barbie doll clothes on all of her Emmys. Yeah, she's like, I don't even know how many now, but yeah, she was there. And Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche did her little intro for that before. So it was very nice. Yeah.
Is this available for viewing online anywhere? Like YouTube has this maybe?
It was streaming live in the Annie. I don't know if they put it up yet, but it will be available. We'll post it once it's up.
Oh, yeah. I got to see it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But speaking of technical problems, we're still with the host banter thing. Everybody might remember last week, especially if you saw on Facebook, I was having some technical problems that kind of got in the way of me putting a show together. And it kind of got in the way this week, too, because I was just spending all week with this. This is why the Neverland podcast, or as we're now on iTunes, Neverland to Disney and Beyond. And we're all about keeping that young, positive energy thing going. So we try to, you know, think good thoughts and enjoy things. And so we can have something positive to go with the week. And I really needed it this week.
That's right. Yeah.
Because the starting now, a week ago last Friday is when my main domain, neverlandpodcast.com, went down.
Yep.
Apparently there was some sort of database issue.
Oh, was that the problem? I was going to ask you what was the problem.
That was the initial thing. Somehow another, something had happened that was stretching further than what I was allowed for database space. Now, they told me some fixes to go and do this optimize within, you know, HostGator and all this stuff. I couldn't get into the section to make the change that they recommended. And I've every day this week, pretty much, I have either called or talked to one of their support people trying to fix stuff. And, you know, we thought we'd have something fixed, but I had restrictions that were up to where I couldn't even get to my site and I couldn't do stuff. And then there was for a while I could get to the site, but nobody else could. And so that's been a real nightmare. And then finally, I had to pay some extra money to have a, because they said there was a WordPress. After I did finally got in to do the optimize that they said to do the database, they were saying there was something in WordPress that was starting the problem. So I paid $50 to a WordPress fixer. For, you know, on this other website, for somebody to come in and basically what he did, he just deleted rows and told me to get rid of that Jetpack plugin, that WordPress.
Yes, that causes some problems sometimes. Yeah.
So yeah, I wiped that out and then, you know, told them, hey, I've got this all fixed, and finally started getting the page up. But then a problem I was having is I needed to update everything to HTTPS.
Yep.
And I found out I could do that through HostGator for free. And so I was trying to get that straightened out. Then I broke the website in the middle of doing that. But finally, we got it all up there. All my sites are up. And the really stressful part of all this was that one of the sites, my subdomain, actually has my resume and my portfolio that I've been sending out, my resume everywhere, because I've graduated school and I wanted to get a job. And so I'm like, I'm sending resumes out and people want access to my portfolio. And what's going to happen when they go to find my portfolio? They're going to find nothing.
Oh, no.
So that on top of blowing a tire this week, buying a skid plate for my Ford Focus from an aftermarket group that turns out it doesn't fit. So I still actually have it sitting in this room and all kinds of other stuff. Not hardly being able to work at all this week. And that's been my week in a nutshell. So I'm glad to be back here where everything's fun in Neverland. Yay.
It's all up from here. Yeah.
It has to go up from here. I can't handle it anymore, you know. Yeah. Although I did just recently get a notification that the bank account's starting to run low on funds because I wasn't able to work this week. So we've spent all of everything we had in the bank. So, yay. But I can fix that tomorrow. I'll go back and do some Lyft and Uber. And because the only money I earned this week went into paying for that tire that I popped while I was trying to work.
Yep.
So hopefully we don't get any more ice on the roads around here.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah. But on to more fun things, because there was lots of fun news that actually happened this week.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, the first bit of news that I'm going to drop, this is fun. So those of you, because I know there are people who live around the Kansas City area that listen, Planet Comic Con Kansas City is happening once again. This is the 20th anniversary of Planet Comic Con. I didn't get the whole dates listed here on what I'm looking at, but it's the last weekend of March. So I know March 30th is that Saturday. And the reason why I know that March 30th is that Saturday is at 10:30 a.m. here in Kansas City. That is when the Neverland Podcast will be hosting a panel. Now, hopefully Eric is going to get to come down. I think he is. The plan is Eric and I will be there. We're going to have some fun this time because we've talked about Marceline, and we had some people from the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, Kay Mallins and Peter Whitehead, came down to talk about Walt Disney and Marceline. And then Eric and I have talked about the Laugh-O-Gram Studios here in Kansas City, Walt's first studio that failed, unfortunately. Then we had Adrian Ropp come in last year, and that was fun. But this year we thought, you know what would be fun is to follow up on all these artists that worked at Laugh-O-Gram that went on to have fantastic animation careers. Now, I could drop some names, but some people would be like, who? Because I've told some people about this idea, and they were like, who are these people? But if I say Friz Freleng, mm-hmm. Or even I Freeling. Yeah, see, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course I did. Right.
He was from Kansas City.
Yep.
And from Laugh-O-Gram. Now, you know what he's done. I know what he's done. But if anybody else wants to know what he's done, you're going to have to come to Kansas City and attend the panel. Because he did a lot. And of course, Byworks from Kansas City. But I want to jump in. I got to do a lot of research still yet, but I'm going to jump in. How did they meet Walt? You know, what did they do at Laugh-O-Gram? What did they do after Laugh-O-Gram? Did they ever work with Disney again? I've got a lot of research to do. Yep. So I'm going to be very busy. I'm going to beg Jim Corcus to help. Because we talked about this idea with him. He's like, oh, wow, you should do this. Oh, yeah, you got to remember this. So he's excited to be able to help, I think. So
cool.
But before we got started, you had asked who all was going to be there. And there's a heck of a long list. The top of the list of celebrity guests, William Shatner.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
I've seen him before. So
yeah.
Come on, it's Captain Kirk. You know, you got to be excited. Well, I'm excited. You, if you're not coming, you don't have to be. But if, right. If you come into town, get excited. It'll be fun.
I'm just jaded.
Henry Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know, he is the Fonz from Happy Days. That'll be fun. Dean Cain, of course, you know, one of the many Supermen, whatever. I'm looking forward to meet him. He's a cool guy. Bonnie Wright from the Harry Potter series, also known as Ginny Weasley. Also being joined by James and Oliver Phelps, the Weasley twins. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica. I actually still need to watch that. Tom Welling, another Superman from Smallville. And also, I guess he's on Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Rosenbaum, also from Smallville. Mick Foley, he's a Hall of Famer from the WWE, along with Rey Mysterio. I'm looking forward to meeting him. Cary Elwes is coming back. I got to hear his panel. Well, it wasn't really a panel. I guess it was more of a whole thing. He was talking about his book, had a lot of great stories to tell. But also, Chris Sarandon, also from The Princess Bride, is going to be there. He is also known as Jack Skellington, or at least the speaking voice.
Yep.
Danielle Panabaker. A little bit of celebrity crush there, you know, from The Flash and Sky High. And then here we go. You're a fan of Ninja Turtles. Kevin Eastman is coming as a creator guest.
Oh, great.
We've also got Doug Mankey. Or is it Mankey? It looks like Aaron Mankey spells his name. He's Detective Comics and Superman. Chris Claremont, Uncanny X-Men writer. The biggest X-Men writer really ever. I don't know how to say his first name. Afua Richardson, who's writing Black Panther and All-Star Batman. Ian McCraig, who's the cover artist for Star Wars. Jason Aaron of Star Wars and Thor. Amanda Connor from Harley Quinn, Justice League. Jimmy Palmiotti, Harley Quinn, Painkiller Jane. Freddie Williams, Batman, TMNT. Phil Hester, Batman Beyond and Shipwreck. Megan Levins, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And Andy Parks of Batman Beyond and Daredevil. So we've got a comic creators coming in as usual. I'm sure there's a lot more that they haven't listed because it's a long list. If you go to planetcomiccon.com, you can find out everybody here that I have not mentioned, but that's already enough to where I'm excited. I'm wondering if I got some Chris Claremont stuff that I can get him to sign.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So, holy cow. Well, this gets you excited to where you think, I need to visit Kansas City.
Well, I do want to. I've always wanted to go there just because of the Walt connection. But you should totally try to interview Brett Iwan while he's there, who's the voice of Mickey Mouse now, because he's from Kansas City. That's his hometown.
Yeah. They won't really let him. He's under such a leash.
What a bummer.
He had a panel and I was not allowed to record it. I've gotten a chance to talk to him and I've got a signed picture with him, but he can't do anything usually because Disney, he's Mickey Mouse. So they got to keep a leash on him and he's really limited on what he's allowed to do.
Bummer.
I'd love to have a good sit down with him.
Yeah.
And he's got in connected with the thankyou.waltdisney.org,
yep.
Which they like me. Though, so they usually help me. They're the ones that hooked me up to be able to speak with them. Oh, my brain went out the window. Margaret Carey.
Oh, sure.
And she's
I love
such
Margaret.
A
she's great. She's great. She's Spitfire. Yeah.
Oh, yes. She's so much fun.
Yeah.
So I guess we better get some of the bad news out now, though, before we get started so we can cheer up later. So this and you actually have some extra stuff to share. But Ron Miller, husband of Diane Disney Miller and former CEO, president, about everything, you know, son-in-law of Walt Disney.
Yep.
Passed away just today at age 85. And Mike Piazza, who we've had on the show before, I've gotten to talk to him and Marceline, wrote up a really nice thing. And I kind of just want to read it, but it's kind of long. But he mentions there, on a personal note, he promoted my wife to full animator when there was no other female animators at the studio. He offered encouragement to me during our work together on Cauldron. That's the Black Cauldron. Basil, that of course would be Basil of Baker Street, also known as the Great Mouse Detective, and Return to Oz, which I haven't seen because I hear it's nightmare inducing. At the studio, when I didn't really know what I should do, I still have a number of his warm personal notes to me on his letterhead thanking me for things I was attempting at the studio, and will cherish these forever. But yeah, he's the one who stepped in after Walt had passed away and had some really big shoes to fill.
He did. He did. And he doesn't get, in my opinion, he doesn't get far enough credit for the Disney Channel that he launched. And
yeah.
Touchstone Pictures. I mean, that stuff is, yeah, doesn't get enough credit for those things, in my opinion. Yeah.
Especially the Disney Channel for what it was originally. I liked it better in the 80s, I gotta say.
Yep. Yep. Agree.
And Touchstone, you know, the funny thing with Touchstone, some realization I actually had just yesterday, because I was watching The Waterboy.
Yeah.
That was a Touchstone release.
I didn't know that. I've never actually seen it.
Technically, that's a Disney movie.
Oh, so, boy.
Now you know, Adam Sandler has been in a Disney movie. It's one of those weird things. It's kind of like when you realize all those Ernest movies were Touchstone's release. So you're like, yes, Ernest was a Disney character.
Yep.
It's so awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I have the, so I am a big fan of Horizons for any of you listening that's fan of old school Epcot Center stuff. I have the 1983 Walt Disney Productions annual report, because it features Horizons in it, but it's actually, since this, I think this is the first year he was CEO, that Ron was CEO, and just look through the, you know, the summary of all the stuff they accomplished, you know, Tokyo Disneyland, I think was that year. And then of course Touchstone and Disney Channel and then Horizons, and you could just see the stuff they were innovating back then. It's pretty cool, and it's still, you know, it's all still around, so.
Yeah, well, you know, we do a thing about old attractions, we bring them into Neverland. We're going to have you come on to talk about Horizons, because I don't think we've talked about it.
I have a whole room, my whole guest room is all retro Epcot, so that was where I grew up. I got an annual pass when I was 4. It was the day after Epcot opened, my family went, because we lived in Orlando. I was 4, and we got our annual pass, and my parents are still charter pass holders today. Wow. Yeah, so we would go at least once a month. I lived in that park. I grew up in that park. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I have not explored it enough.
It's the best.
Yeah, I went in there with tired feet, so we didn't make it very far. We got up and we did Maelstrom, and then we came back out because our feet were killing us, and I needed to go and soak them in a swimming pool. Because we'd been at Animal Kingdom all day, and then we moved over into Epcot, and so, feet are killing me, because Animal Kingdom is such a big park and a lot of walking to get to everything.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
But another loss we had just yesterday at age 82, Albert Finney. Now, Albert Finney, I think I probably first saw him back in the Annie film in 1982 as Daddy Warbucks.
Yes, that was my first.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I've seen him in, Scrooge in 1970.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I love that movie. I watch it every Christmas. And it's great. He was young enough to be able to play the young Scrooge and the old miserly Scrooge.
Yep.
Oh, so great. And then, you know, he's done so many different things. But the last thing that I recall seeing him in was Skyfall.
Yep.
So he's got so much stuff, even a lot of stuff on television. He played Pope John Paul II in 1984, which is weird.
That's a big role. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And had a 1990 HBO movie called The Image, which he was Emmy nominated, and then won the award along with a Golden Globe and a BAFTA for his performance as Winston Churchill in 2002's HBO and BBC co-production The Gathering Storm. So other than that, he had two BAFTA awards, 3 Golden Globe awards, and actually he performed on stage in London and was actually nominated for 2 Tonys in 1964 for Luther, and the second one in 1968 for A Day in the Death of Joe Egg. So I'm gonna miss him being around, although granted, I'm always gonna watch the movies that he, you know, mainly Scrooge, I'm always gonna watch that one, so
yep.
So it's like he'll visit me every Christmas.
There you go.
That's the way we look at it. Yeah. So, are you much of a gamer?
I would say I'm an old school gamer. I used to compete when I was younger. These days I don't have enough time. I finally got my first, you know, new-ish console. I finally got a Nintendo Switch. The last one I have was a PlayStation 2, which tells you how much I've been playing games lately.
Well, get yourself a PS4 so you can play Spider-Man, by the way, because, oh my gosh, wow. But, yeah. but Disney and Electronic Arts actually, they had an investor conference call and announced Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Now, this is a conference call, and actually Bob Iger was part of this, where they're confirming that Disney is going to continue to license out the property to EA. Despite there's a lot of people who think EA hasn't done a very good job with some of the products, especially with the Battlefront games, and especially Battlefront 2. There was a lot of, you know, pay-to-win type of controversy and microtransactions. So there's some question on, you know, whether EA is actually handling it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of the people who did that, like the Titanfall creator, Respawn Entertainment, looks like they're going to be working on this. And it actually could be released here in 2019. But they're describing it as a story-centered game and will be considered canon to the Star Wars universe. It's going to be third-person, single-player action. And it's going to take place between Return of the Sith and A New Hope. And it's basically the remaining Jedi in the galaxy are being hunted down by the Empire. Which makes me think we're going to see maybe some characters from Star Wars Rebels pop up, maybe some Inquisitors. Maybe you get to play as an Inquisitor. Would be interesting to me if you're talking about Fallen. Well, I guess Fallen Order. They're not meaning like Fallen Jedi, but the Fall of the Jedi Order. But it'd be interesting if you're playing as like an Inquisitor and you're hunting down Jedi, just for a twist. You know, play as the dark side.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is similar to, you know, like the Force Unleashed. Was a great game, and it was set during this time period, but The Force Unleashed is no longer, you know, it's not canon, but it was a great game.
I haven't played that one.
Oh, it's so much fun because they did some crazy stuff with your force powers, so you can pick up stormtroopers and spin them around and throw them. Oh my goodness. I had a lot of fun playing that. I haven't played the second one, but I had so much fun, so I'm actually pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's going to be good. I'll have to save up for a while because games get expensive these days.
Yeah, since they're not making any more Star Wars movies for a while, right? They got to fill that void somehow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what are we going to do next Christmas when we're expecting a Star Wars movie?
Right.
We'll travel to New York in Central Park as part of the public work. And I'm trying to read what it says. It says public works initiative. They invite community groups throughout the city to participate in basically, you know, how a lot of towns, and I bet you're wherever you live at, you probably have a Shakespeare in the Park type of thing going on, right?
I think so. Yeah. I live in Phoenix, but yeah, I haven't been here for a while.
Yeah. So basically imagine Central Park. They have, of course, a nice theater area. They're staging Hercules, the Disney style of Hercules.
Interesting. Is Menken involved in that? I'm assuming he is, since he wrote the score. But
well, they are using his music, and it says there's even some additional music by Alan Menken and David Zippel.
Oh yeah, well, he did the original lyrics too. Yeah, right. Zippel did the lyrics. Yeah, yeah.
So there's some additional stuff, which makes me think maybe there's some, you know, there's probably plenty of unused songs when they were making the movie. And so I guess they're taking that. But now I would find this interesting. I would like how to do this, because this is being done with a special arrangement from the Disney Theatrical Productions under the direction of Thomas Shoemaker.
Yep.
So they're going to present this at basically it's an outdoor theater. How in the world do you do things like the Hydra or even the Titans?
I don't know, but they're really good at that stuff. I can tell you. Just seeing Beauty and the Beast a long time ago, seeing that transformation on stage is pretty amazing. Yes. So, yeah. Did you see Hunchback? I know that wasn't necessarily Disney wasn't producing that one, but
I knew there was one in Europe that was based off the Disney film, but I heard it never came to the United States.
It did. San Diego, it premiered. I got to go to the premiere. Well, not the premiere, but I think couple days before the actual premiere, I got to go see that, and it had a bunch of additional songs. It's very, very different from the animated version. It's more based on Hugo's novel than you know, the animated feature. But But that score is one of my favorite scores of all time. So I had to go see that.
Yeah, if that ever comes around, I'll have to check it out. But I still want to see Lion King too, though.
Lion King's wonderful. The Hunchback one was in it was in New Jersey for a little bit, but I don't think it ever went to Broadway. But I think it's still around. It was in LA for a little bit too. I don't know if it's still touring, but it's a good score.
Well, I hope they tour it and bring it here, because I would check it out.
Yeah.
That'd be different. And I wonder what this could mean. I mean, if this goes over very well, because this will be the first time it's performed as a stage thing, doing it as a theater in the park. If it goes well, perhaps we'll see a Hercules on Broadway.
Never know.
It's a good possibility. Right now, I'm sure they're enjoying some success because apparently Frozen has opened on Broadway. So I'm sure people are not letting go of that one. I wish they would.
That was a good...
had to transition there somehow.
That was a good one.
Yeah, because I'm so thawed out that I'm not even excited for Frozen 2. But then again, I haven't seen any ads yet. Maybe the ads will somehow or another get me excited. I don't know. They can make an Olaf movie. I think I'd be more excited about that.
Yeah. Correct.
But something I am kind of excited about, and this is still, it's very early on the information we have, but we're hearing that Josh Gad is now working upon this with the Once Upon a Time creators in a Disney Plus Muppets show. Now, from what we're hearing, it's because, you know, last time they brought the Muppets to television, they tried to do something like The Office.
Yes.
What they're thinking they want to do this time, and this is coming from the Splash Report, which I hear they're supposed to be reliable on some of these scoops, is that this will take place right after the events of The Muppets Take Manhattan.
My favorite, personally.
Everybody has kind of gotten disbanded again. Kermit apparently did it for some reason, but they all got to come back together after the mysterious disappearance of Rolf.
Interesting.
How accurate this information is, I'm not entirely sure, because I'm not familiar with the Splash Report, but based on Splash Film says the Splash Report is pretty reliable on these scoops.
Yep.
So this could be what it is. I don't know everything yet. This is still all way up in, you know, it's we're not expecting to see this until like 2020.
Okay.
But we've heard that the Muppets were going to be on Disney Plus. So I'm taking this as a good possibility of what it is we're going to have. Of course, I'm also hoping that they'll put the entirety of the Muppet Show on Disney Plus.
That would be nice.
Yeah, because there's still two seasons never released on DVD that I would like to sit down and watch and enjoy because it's a Muppet Show.
Yes, of course.
Yes. They haven't even put the all-important Mark Hamill episode up yet.
Yep.
I mean, I've got it through a Time Life collection, but come on, people. 4 and 5 while we're alive already. Okay.
Right. When you said Josh Gad, I thought you were talking about Hunchback. You've heard that news, I presume, right?
There was some talk that they were going to do a Hunchback film. Is Josh Gad working on that one?
He is spearheading that, as far as I understand. And there's actually a picture of him, I think, from Instagram or something, his Instagram, where he's reading The Art Of book, which I have, so I recognize the cover when I saw it. And there's rumors that he's Quasi, but we'll see. Right now, I think he's just in a producer role, but it'll be interesting.
He would make an interesting Quasi, and he's got the higher range voice, and he can sing.
Yeah.
I can see him being Quasi.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm withholding judgment for now.
Right, yeah. I'm thinking this has potential.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a more of a moody character, but, you know, Quasi kind of had that sadness, but he also had that inner hope and optimism somewhere underneath there that came out.
Right.
So I think Josh Gad could play it and actually do pretty well. So we'll see. I'm very patient. I know a lot of people are really tired of Disney remaking a lot of their animated films in live action, but so far I've enjoyed most of them. So I take a step back and like, well, let me just see it and see what happens.
There you go.
Because there's still ways to get that nostalgia. In fact, on Apple Music, they have some 90s nostalgia with what they call the Disneyland After Dark playlist. Because they're having a 90s night on March 7th, 2019. And in celebration, you get this playlist. And they're saying they've got, you know, all the great 90s songs, including stuff from the Disney Afternoon lineup.
Ooh.
So, like, films from the 90s, deep cuts in a Disney afternoon, even some of the, you know, Roger Rabbit and some stuff from, well, the Roger Rabbit's tunes, cartoon spin, and the Nina Ann Jones Temple of Forbidden Eye. You're going to have some theme park stuff from the 90s as well. Cool. It says you can check out and download the official Disneyland After Dark 90s Night playlist now on Apple Music, as well as a fan-made version on Spotify, because, you know, they're always going to work with Apple, but not necessarily with Spotify.
Interesting.
Yeah, which I'm opening my Spotify player right now, and I'm logging in so I can grab this list. Although I've kind of got the list already set up, you know, I've for anyone on Spotify, I do have a Neverland Radio playlist where I've grabbed all kinds of good stuff like this, so you can come and check it out. Plus, if you go and listen to any Neverland Radio, I have a Neverland Halloween, I have a Neverland Christmas. I'm out there and I'm putting together these playlists for not only my enjoyment, for anyone who wants to come along. So please feel free to come and find us. But how do you like Mexican music?
Me? Like traditional Mexican music or Mexico Pavilion?
Well, a little bit of both, you know, because Mexican, like, Pavilion and mariachi, because
I do.
Coco has joined the Mexican Pavilion at Epcot with a new musical performance, according to the Disney blog.
I heard. Yeah.
They have some really great photos. They have a little puppet, kind of marionette style, but he's more like got sticks and his little guitar. And I forgot the little character's name. Wow. Can you believe that?
Oh,
Miguel. Yes.
Yes, Miguel.
Little Miguel. And basically, he's going to comes out. There's a guy, you know, who's wearing a poncho behind him that I guess isn't going. But they're going to start. This is starting on March 6th. They're going to tell the story of Coco in the Mexican Pavilion with puppeteers, folklore. I cannot say this. Folklore. Yep. Dancers. There's going to be dancers. And mariachi, and they're going to tell a story and play music. There's actually some video that Big Fat Panda has. If you go and check it out, you can hear some. They're playing some Coco music out there in an area out in the Mexican Pavilion with some mariachi. And this, some people kind of wonder if it might just be for the International Flower and Garden Festival, and then it might go away afterwards. But personally, I think they're going to keep it because that, you know, bringing. They're really bringing a lot more properties into Epcot, and yeah. This makes a lot of sense to bring that in. And, you know, especially there was a rumor for a while that Coco was going to take over the and I forgot the name of the ride there with Donald Duck and the Three Caballeros.
The River of Rio del Tiempo. Yes, yep. Rio del Tiempo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was rumors that Coco was going to take that over. I hope they don't, but put Coco in there. And this is a great way to do it, by having mariachi band come out and perform and sing songs from the film, tell the story. That's a great way, I think, to integrate. I would gladly come and watch that. But I haven't ever gotten to see the ride, and I don't want to die before I get a chance to see it.
With Rob and Carlos Alazraki in there.
Yeah,
you got to go.
Yeah, which is fun. I always like listening to the audio because I can hear Rob Paulson's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yay! you got to love that.
Yep, you heard they're renaming Epcot, right? The joke. What? There's a joke. They're renaming Epcot. No. I just ruined my joke, but the new name is... the new name is Epcot. It's the intellectual property community of tomorrow.
Oh, burn. Yeah, it's kind of becoming that way, and they're losing the heart and soul of Epcot a little bit, but
they are. It's a bummer.
They got to find a way to balance things, and I think Coco helps bring the Mexican culture in, so that seems to fit to me.
Yeah.
I don't know that Frozen taking over Maelstrom really brought the culture of Norway back. So nope. that didn't seem to fit.
No.
But if they can use intellectual properties to help, you know, tell about it, show other cultures, or show about some possibilities of future technology, then I think we've got something. You know, yes. If they use them right, you can bring intellectual property in, but or even create new intellectual properties like Figment. Bring back your Figment.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I don't know if Guardians is a good IP for that area, but hey, you know.
Well, they're supposed to be teaching something about space travel, so if done right and it's a kind of educational but also a lot of fun, then that's what Epcot kind of is. You learn some stuff, but you have so much fun doing it.
I hope there's a learning component. I think that's the thing that's gotten lost over there. Yeah. So we'll see.
Because I'm sorry, we're not learning anything from Elsa.
Exactly.
Yeah. So other things that this is not Happy Town over at Walt Disney World. All right. Because I'm sure you've heard about this, that you have to start paying to park your car at a resort.
Yes.
And there's hotels that do that kind of junk to people, too.
Yep.
Well, if you're not careful, this is somebody wrote up. This is what happened to them. This is on yourmileagemayvary.net. It's a travel blog. But they wrote up that they didn't use Disney's Magical Express, and they thought that might have been the trigger. They used an Uber, Lyft, or a taxi or something like that to go straight to their room. So they could do an online check-in before they arrived. They just went straight to the room, dropped their stuff off, and then went to the parks. Yep. And they actually were getting charged a parking fee on their bill that they noticed. Wow. And they didn't have a car.
Ugh. So
what they're saying to kind of prevent this, when this article was shared to Facebook, I saw somebody comment that they had a similar problem and they had used the Magical Express. But apparently when you check in, make sure you go to the front desk and go ahead and check in there to say, hey, I didn't drive. I'm riding the bus while I'm here. My car is at home. I didn't rent a car or anything. Do not charge me for a parking spot. I'm not using it. Make sure they know. Because I guess they're having a little problems rolling this out. Personally, I think this was a bad idea. I mean, you're already paying enough to stay at the resort. You're paying enough to go to the parks. Why'd they have to get you in the back end with your car parking at the resort?
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. They shouldn't be doing it to begin with, but apparently it's not going right. So travel tip, keep an eye on your bill.
Yep. Can't say I'm surprised there.
Yeah. But we have some other fun stuff. Well, hopefully it's fun. Hopefully you had a good time with this. But we always like to have a good movie review. But I haven't seen any new movies. But you did.
I sure did. I saw Lego Movie 2 yesterday.
There'll be spectacle. There'll be fantasy. There'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Be a movie.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie.
Starring everybody.
And me.
I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
Once, everything was awesome. Now, everything is bleak.
Hey, Lucy. I brought you coffee.
Coffee. The bitter liquid that provides the only semblance of pleasure left in these dark times.
Oh, my goshness. Did I interrupt you brooding just now?
Times have changed. You need to change with them.
We have to be tough and battle ready.
Look, a shooting star, make a wish.
Oh no.
Run!
Hurry, the door is slowly closing.
Oh, the pain. It's getting so cold.
Emmett, what are you doing?
Hooray!
See, that wasn't so bad. Nothing got in.
Ah, something got in.
I'm General Mayhem. Bring me your fiercest leader.
Lucy!
Emmett.
This is all my fault.
Hang on to your fronds, Planny. We're going to save Lucy.
Don't you tell me to stop!
Asteroid!
Mind if I save your life?
Not at all.
Who are you?
The name's Rex Danger Vest. Galaxy defending archaeologist, cowboy, and raptor trainer.
I don't get it.
Will you help me rescue my friends?
You don't want to go anywhere near the Sistar system. It's ruled by an alien queen.
Only the toughest are gonna get out of there alive.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Yes, you are.
I'm Queen Whatever I Would Not Be.
I'm getting super evil vibes here.
I could change my form to something else if this makes you uncomfortable.
Hey, guys.
No, go back. The horse was much more palatable.
I got a play phone and a play phone. I gotta get it, baby.
Me.
No, I did not.
A1, hit him with the A1 song. Since A1, not the A1 sign.
Lucy!
Emmett, did you draw stubble dots on your face?
What? No.
Who are you?
I'm your worst nightmare.
You're me when I'm late to school and I forgot my homework and my pants are made of pudding?
No, I don't.
Lego Movie, and of course they didn't just call it Lego Movie 2, they called it Lego the Second Part.
The Second Part.
Which I was kind of running broke because of the weird week I've had, so I didn't get a chance to go out and see it, but you checked it out.
I did. It's wonderful. I tweeted yesterday that I wish Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who wrote the film, would write every movie from now on, because everything they write is brilliant, in my opinion. Did you see the original Lego Movie?
Yes, I saw it in theaters, and everything was awesome.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, it's in that same vein. I wouldn't say it's better than, but every time I go to one of their films, I don't think I've laughed so hard. Just so many in jokes, and I won't spoil too much, but just the there's kind of a Chris Pratt in joke. And it's just really cleverly done. And the music is wonderful, and make sure you stay, if you go see it, make sure you stay through the credits. It's not a credit end scene, but the song in the credits had me laughing out loud with my husband, because they are telling you how great the credits are, and it's the best part of the film. The soundtrack has about half of the song, I think. But the second half of the song is even funnier, because when it starts rolling the voiceover credits, they start talking about voiceover and how they work so hard for 4 hours a day and stuff. It's just brilliant. So good. So good.
And I didn't notice, like, some of the in-joke in the trailers, you could tell that Chris Pratt was playing two characters, and they had a guy who's pretty much, it's almost like Chris Pratt the Lego, because he has had adventures similar to maybe every Chris Pratt movie that we've seen.
Yes, it's like the evolution of Chris Pratt. It's great. It's so good. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. Good stuff. And did you see Spider-Man, Spider-Verse when it was out?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much. That was so much fun.
So good. Yeah, and Phil wrote that too. It's just everything they've ever done that I've seen is just so good. And I got to meet them at the Annies last weekend. Funny. Where they basically, you know, Spider-Man basically swept the whole ceremony. They swept everything they were nominated for, they won. Just about, just super nice guys. We have an interview with them that I'll be putting up soon. So it's really good stuff.
Awesome. I may have to have them on sometime too, to be like, hey, so when's Lego 3 coming? So
I'm sure there'll be another one. They've been really popular now. So they kind of broke that mold. I was thinking, you know, I don't think there's, you know, people might disagree with me, but you know, Disney and Pixar were kind of the leaders in that area for so long. And now there seems to be kind of a downturn, and it's allowing these guys to kind of come in and, you know, produce better stuff, in my opinion. So
some of these other companies they end up making good stuff, because you got, you know, How to Train Your Dragon, which I missed the early showing of the third one. I could have gotten to an early preview, but I wasn't able to do it. But everybody is just going gaga over How to Train Your Dragon 3. I'm very excited to see that one. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a lot of great stuff. And then, like, the Lego Movie was so much fun, and Into the Spider-Verse was so much fun. Yep. But then you also have stuff like The Secret Life of Pets, that the best stuff was in the trailer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like DreamWorks, I don't think I've seen a DreamWorks film that I was obsessively loving. Yeah. Same with Illumination, just kind of the typical stuff that it just doesn't do anything for me. But the stuff that Phil and Chris have been writing is just so good, in my opinion. So,
yeah. Oh, and then something else like Ice Age. The first Ice Age is great. Yeah. And then it went downhill fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they kept making more of them. They're like, oh, stop it. So like Despicable Me, by the time you started making a Minions movie, it's like, okay, stop it. Yeah. You ruined it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that nobody still matches completely the powerhouse of Disney, but there's some good stuff. And actually, I think I'd have to look this up. But DreamWorks, though, I think they had a Train Your Dragons films. I think that is a DreamWorks.
It is DreamWorks. Yeah.
Yeah. And you haven't been a big fan of those?
Nah, not a huge fan. And I liked Lilo and Stitch because, you know, Chris had done that film mm-hmm. before he left Disney, because you could see how Stitch and what's the dragon's name?
Toothless.
Toothless are very, very similar in that regard. But
yeah,
I just didn't. It just didn't grab me like some of the other stuff. So yeah.
How many did you watch? Did you only watch the first one, or did you watch the second one?
I believe I watched the first two.
So you have seen the first
try.
Two.
Yeah, give it another try. But like I said, I'm jaded. So
I guess so.
I am very jaded. So
yes, I think the second one was even better than the first one because Toothless became even more cute and funny with some of the things they did with them. And
right.
I think it has appeal to us, you know, like cat owners, because the dragons, especially Toothless, are very cat-like the way he behaves.
That's true. That's true.
And so if you like cats, you're going to be, but if you hate cats, you're probably not going to respond as well.
I love cats. I'm a cat person, but.
And yet still didn't.
It's just it's the same kind of thing with Stitch. It's always bothered me. It's just that, I don't know what it is, but and now Stitch is kind of everywhere too. And I just never understood the appeal of Stitch personally. Everyone's going to be tweeting hate at me, but yeah,
there's other people who don't like Stitch. I personally love Stitch. I'm one of them weird people that when I went to Walt Disney World, I'd never been on the alien encounter, so I wasn't jaded at all. And yeah. I just went and did the Stitch's Great Escape, and I enjoyed it. I loved it because I liked Stitch, and it was one of the best animatronics they have in the parks was that little Stitch figure. I mean, it was great. And yeah, I know the Chili Burp, but that wasn't the only place that I'd gotten a horrible stink sent at me at Disney, okay? I mean, you know, nobody complains about a stink. Have to be a bug, and they hit you with some stuff. And I mean, there was other places that really bad stinks were pumped at me.
And Imagination with Figment, the new one, I should say.
Yeah, well, I didn't get on to that one because that was where our feet were tired at Epcot, and we didn't quite make it.
You can skip that one.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Even though I love Eric Idle, somehow or another, even hearing the audio of that, I'm like, something's not quite hitting it here with this.
Yeah, it's just doesn't compare to the original.
Yeah. So if they can get the original going again somehow or another, but they probably have to pay some royalties out to the family of the original Dreamfinder guy.
Chuck McCann.
Yeah, Chuck McCann, because he has passed away, I believe, hasn't he?
He passed away last year, I believe. Yeah. And then the guy that did fill in for him after is a friend of mine, Ron Schneider, who wrote a book, which if you haven't read, I would highly recommend. It's very good. He has a lot of background in theme parks, and he was one of the original Dreamfinder walkarounds when the park first opened.
Yeah.
Ron's a great guy.
I think we've mentioned his book, but we haven't had him on to talk about it yet.
Ron's fantastic. I've known him for 20 something years.
My goodness.
Great guy. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we might have to use you as a connection to get a hold of him because I'm having fun talking to all these book authors, but it also gives me a whole lot of books I'm really behind on reading.
Yeah. He's got a lot of great stories. So,
and that's what we like. We like good stories. We've gotten so many different good stories.
Yeah.
So. So that's our brief review of Lego 2. And I'm definitely going to check it out when I can, because my wife, for some reason, didn't enjoy the first one. I mean, part of the enjoyment, I think, of the first one was that was, you know, animating with Legos.
Yeah.
It was so impressive, the things they did. And then I really enjoyed also Lego Batman, although I don't own a copy of that one. I need to get that one.
Yeah.
But these Lego films, all of them usually have been fun, although I guess people didn't like the Ninjago movie, but I didn't see it, so I can't comment.
Yeah, I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, people apparently didn't care for it as much. And like, what? You know, the fun thing about the Lego movies is all the different little IPs they can bring in. Yep. It's just kind of fun to just mishmash a little bit. So
I agree.
That's part of the fun.
Pirates of the Yucatan.
Yes, sorry.
This is so good.
Thank you.
Attention passengers, we're currently experiencing some technical difficulties. Please remain seated with your hands, arms, legs, and feet inside until a cast member arrives to assist you. Attention passengers, we're currently experiencing some technical difficulties. Please remain seated with your hands, arms, legs, and feet inside until a cast member arrives to assist.
Attention, drop-in service starting at 3, caballeros. Please remain seated. This ride will be powered up and powered off in normal mode immediately. Please stand clear. Thank you.
Only the first time.
Yeah, I'm just in the middle of the chopper.
amigos. Come again. See you next time. We'll be watching for you. Catch us on tour. Viva Mexico! Goodbye. Adios, amigos. Come again. See you next time.
And Donald, next time, please stay on the sarape, okay?
See? I chased you all over Mexico. Thanks for coming to Mexico. And come again soon. Be waiting for you, amigos. Thanks for coming to the show!
Astro, I'm sorry!
Catch us on tour! We'll be watching for you! Viva Mexico!
And yes, I'm a boss!
See you again! Hey, catch us on tour! Oh, you're a terrific audience! See you next time!
Yes, mama, let's go!
Goodbye! Hey, amigos, thanks for coming to Mexico! Come again soon! It's waiting for you!
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yeah! Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.